All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, it's great to see everybody tonight. It is good to be here with you all. Such a great song, too. That's one of my favorite. I love the line, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of man? Who would have thought? That's pretty amazing. So tonight we're going to go through Deuteronomy 4, 44 through chapter 11. So let's get started, because I got quite a bit. It is very difficult to condense all that into a short message. So here we are. You guys will have to give me a little bit of grace tonight. It's been a fairly crazy day today. So I'm just trying to focus my mind on Christ right now and go through the message. Nothing bad. It's just a little bit of one of those days that it's just one thing after another, after another, after another, and then all of a sudden you're here. So I was coming up with an intro with this and having a difficult time. So I asked my son, I was like, what do you think? And I kind of told him what it was about. I'm like, what do you think about an intro? And he goes, why don't you just talk about fishing, Dad? I'm like, all right. So fishing it is for an intro. It actually works out pretty good. Everything starts with fishing, right? So some of you probably know that I enjoy fishing. A few of you might know that I have a couple of secret spots that I catch a lot of fish at. Now, this one particular spot is very productive in the summer. The first time I ventured out there, all the old timers and the regulars at that spot made sure to tell me that I should tell no one about this place. It's a secret. It's kind of elusive. But the funny thing is, it's out in the open and everybody can see it. So it's not that much of a secret, but not many people go there. So I always talk about it, and Caleb's been asking to go there, and I remember the first time that I took Caleb fishing there, I always told him about the spot. He was very excited about it, and when we finally went and we were getting to the spot, I made sure to tell him to listen to everything that I told him to do. Getting to the spot and also navigating around can be pretty tricky and a bit dangerous. I told him to make sure to listen to me while I was out there, leading him through, to not be distracted by all the cool stuff, all the marine life and everything else, to be careful to follow my exact footsteps, since it is easy to slip in the mud, or you take one wrong step and you'll be thigh to waist deep in sinking mud. Make sure not to be distracted, and make sure to carefully follow closely everything that I say, and most of all, to remember to enjoy the time that we get to spend together, no matter if we catch or not. So here, similarly, we see Moses reminding the Israelites here in the next few chapters to remain faithful after entering into the promised land. Moses charges them to carefully follow all of God's law, warning them of what would happen if they slipped and fell, and most importantly, to remember God and all he has done for them in the last 40 years. Who would remain faithful? Who would listen to the warnings? Who will remember? So as we start Deuteronomy, we see Moses address Israel right before they are about to enter into the promised land. This book is kind of like Moses' final words, his final charge to Israel. Could you imagine how long of a struggle Moses had with these people? How many years he led them? How much of his life he dedicated to them? Think about that. 40 years of his life he dedicated to these people. And even before that, the Lord was molding him to do this. All the struggles, all the uncertainty, you would think that by now they would have no doubt in their mind that there was a creator God who was leading them. But they still needed to be reminded to be faithful. Here Moses is, after giving his first speech to Israel on the plains of Moab in the first four chapters, reminding them of their physical journey and how God provided for them, and reminding them to be faithful. Now Moses speaks again to Israel, all shortly before entering the promised land, reminding them of their duty to faithfulness and charging them of the possible pitfalls along the way. This is all right before they enter the promised land. So here in the next few chapters, Moses again reminds them of the law of God. And that's what actually Deuteronomy means, the repetition of the law. And more importantly, the underlying message is that your hearts must be right as well. And isn't it the same with us? Not just following out of a legalistic way, but following with all of your heart, mind, and soul. So let's take a look as we continue our tour of the Torah. I'm going to open up to, if you would like to follow along in your Bibles, you can. I'm not going to read too much from there, but I am going to go chapter by chapter through this. We're going to start in chapter 5. So here in chapter 5, Moses calls Israel together again, reminding them of the ordinance of God. He says right from the first verse, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. That in verse 2, the Lord our God made a covenant with us, with all of us. It wasn't just our fathers that he made a covenant with, but it was everybody here today. Now remember, this is like the second generation coming out. All the people that came out of Egypt were not to enter the promised land, right? They were there for 40 years. They all died off. So this is like the second generation that's going in. So it's a little bit different dynamic. Moses reminds them of how the Lord spoke face to face with Moses on the mountain from the midst of the fire. Because in verse 5, Moses reminded them that he was standing between the Lord and the Israelites to declare the word of God. Because why? They were afraid of the fire and did not go up into the mountain. It sounded like they needed a mediator. So in verse 23, if we read here, and you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. You said, behold, the Lord our God has shown his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire, and we have seen that God speaks with man, yet he lives. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we will die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go near and hear all the Lord our God says, then speak to all of us what the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear it and do it. So then, in verse 28 and 29, we hear the Lord say, they have done well in all that they have spoken, on that they had such a heart in them. Notice that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments, that it may go well with them and their sons forever. And that's kind of interesting. He says, then God tells them to go back to their tents while God continues to instruct Moses in the word so that it would go well with them. Kind of an, you're used to like the Israelites kind of taking a little bit of a beating, and now God's saying like, wow, look at their heart. You know what? Go back to your tents and rest. I'm going to speak to Moses. I'm going to instruct him. So chapter 5, coming to an end here, some practical application. The Israelites could not bear to stand before God. It was terrifying to them. They needed a mediator. God provided Moses as a mediator and a foreshadow of Christ to stand between God and man. Christ is our only access to God. Otherwise, we'd stand before God's terrifying wrath towards our sin. So moving on, chapter 6, remembering the heart. Here in chapter 6, we see Moses remind them that when you obey, do not do it out of duty, but do it out of the right heart, and God will bless you and you will prosper. The first few verses, Moses tells them that if they fear the Lord and they keep his commands and they are careful, note that word careful, to do it, it will go well with you. and your days will be prolonged. God will multiply them greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. We see throughout this chapter that in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might. It wasn't just about keeping the law or following rules. It was having the right heart and storing the law of God in your heart. To write the law on your heart, to teach it to your children at all times of the day, to bind it on your hands and your forehead, to write it on your doorpost, so it is always before you. For the Lord knew and warned them sternly. In verse 12, Moses said, "Then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out from the house of slavery. For the Lord is a jealous God, and his anger will be against you and wipe you off the face of the earth. Do not test the Lord. But instead, have the right heart. Teach the law of the Lord to your children, to all future generations." That's the key. "Take every opportunity to teach them throughout the day. Do not forget, but have the right heart." And think here, he's talking about the law. So the law also is a means of showing our children or anyone their need for Christ. And that is very much true now. So some practical applications from chapter 6. We need to continually set our minds on Christ, that we are continually talking about him and his law, that God's word is written upon our hands and on our homes, that we are continually meditating on God's law. It's easy to observe this, but not have a consciousness towards God. God's law is not a burden, but it's a delight. This chapter is a great reminder of our total devotion to God, which stems from the heart and not from duty. So moving on, chapter 7, remembering the warnings and the promises. Moses goes on here to warn them, "When you enter this land, you will be tempted, but you must overcome it. And remember," here it is again, "to keep the right heart." Instructions were given. When you enter the promised land, make sure to completely destroy all the people. Do not make agreements with them or show favor to them, for the Lord has defeated them. The warning, do not intermarry with them. Do not give them to your children. For in verse 4, they will turn your sons away from following me and will serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. Moses goes on in verse 7 to remind them that the Lord did not choose them because they are great in numbers, because of an oath made to their forefathers, but because the Lord loves you. Remember, as you enter, that the Lord is faithful to 1,000 generations. Therefore, remember his promises. Because you listen and obeyed out of the right heart, he will love you and bless you and multiply you. In verse 12 and 13, do not be afraid of the other nations. They might be mightier, but the Lord will deliver you and defeat them. Do not forget the Lord and serve their gods, for it will be a snare to you. Some practical application from chapter 7. We see God's zeal for purity and holiness here. The Israelites were to destroy everyone and everything within the new land so that they might not be tempted to forsake God. This should compel us to forsake the ways and things of wicked people all around us and in the world. When you start walking away from God, it's kind of like a train that becomes derailed. Before you know it, the train comes to a screeching halt, flips over on its side, it's crashed and destroyed. Chapter 8. Keep on moving along. Sorry, guys. Am I moving too quick? No? Are you guys falling asleep? All right. Should we take a break? No? I just want to make sure I have your attention. Looking out. 7:24. The light's blinking for some reason at me. Is that a reminder? All right. Chapter 8. Remembering God's gracious dealing. Now Moses reminds them of their past. Remember, when you enter, what the Lord has done in the past. In verse 2, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Moses reminds them of their journey, the manna that was always there to eat. Think about these things. It's kind of amazing. The clothes that didn't wear out, the feet that didn't swell for 40 years. And now the Lord led them to a land that had it all. It had brooks of water, it had fountains, land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, a land of olive oil and honey, a land that lacks nothing. But verse 12, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And most of all, Moses charges them in verse 11, beware that you do not forget your Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and you are satisfied and have built houses and lived in them, kind of like us, right? We're comfortable. And when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power, the strength of my hands, made me this wealth. If you do this, you will surely perish. There's the warning. Remember God and his gracious dealings with you. Some practical applications from chapter 8. Blessings can easily become curses by forgetting that they are God-given. 1 Timothy 6:9. They that will be rich fall into temptations and snares and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. God has given Israel an abundance, as he has also given us. Let us not forget him. Through the journey, though the journey was difficult for them, it was for their own good. God does not always take us on the easy path, but through the wilderness, through trials that will humble us and expose what is in our hearts. Through difficulties, it's for our own good, ultimately to conform us into the image of Christ. Moving on, chapter 9, remembering your past and remembering your sin. Moses goes on here to remind them. Remember, he's speaking to them, reminding them before they enter in. So, and he reminds them so that they do not become proud and forget the Lord, that this is ultimately the Lord's work. He chose to do this. It was not dependent on their own righteousness. They had none. The Lord did not drive out people due to Israel's righteousness, but because of the wickedness of the nations that was already there. Moses goes on to remind them that they, who they really are and what they had done in the past. Verse 7, this is interesting, in verse 7. So they provoked the Lord your God to wrath from the day that they left the land of Egypt. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say like the week, it says the day. From the day they left Egypt, they provoked the Lord to wrath. They have been rebellious against the Lord. God calls them straight out a stubborn people in verse 6. They provoked the Lord at Horeb that the Lord would destroy them. They provoked the Lord the first time that Moses went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. Remember that? So much so that the Lord was going to destroy them and make a nation out of Moses. What did Moses do? Do you remember what Moses did? He interceded for them on their behalf. He didn't just pray. He prayed and fasted before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights on behalf of those rebellious people. And the Lord listened and heard and relented from destroying them. Think about that. The Lord was like, you know what, Moses? These people have been a bit of a pain, right? Let me just get rid of them. I'll make a nation out of you. They'll be all Moses's. You'll be able to handle it because you know how they act because you're Moses. You know? That would make it easy, right? No, he went to the Lord. He prayed and fasted for 40 days for those people. Talk about a struggle. So this brings to us the grace of God. But first, a couple of practical applications from chapter 9. Verse 16 tells us that Israel had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord commanded you. How quickly we are ensnared by our sin. It is constantly knocking at our door. And we are just one thought away from yielding. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Whoever therefore, let him that thinketh he stands, lest he takes a fall. We must continually be on the guard. We must not be stubborn. We see Moses here, a picture of a great leader. Great leaders are great in prayer. God offered Moses an amazing thing. He would destroy Israel and make a greater nation out of Moses. Could you imagine all the struggles that Moses has been through with these people? The thought must have been pretty compelling. But what did Moses do? We talked about this. He prayed. And he didn't just do a simple prayer. He spent 40 days denying himself to bring these people before God. And God heard and relented. And it's a picture, a bigger picture, pointing to a greater intercessory prayer of Christ and his bride, the church, us. So chapter 10, moving on. Remembering God's grace. After the Israelites came close to certain death, the Lord was gracious enough to rewrite the Ten Commandments for them. Moses once again came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. The Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to stand and serve before the Lord and to carry the Ark of the Covenant with the temple, with the tablets inside. At this point, the Lord commanded them that they continue to the promised land. The Lord charges them in verse 12 and 13. Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep the Lord's commands and his statutes, which I am commanding you here today. So coming to the end of chapter 10, some practical things. Verse 12 asks, what does the Lord your God require of you? The question should penetrate our hearts and our conscience. Nothing else matters but wholehearted devotion to God, reverent awe of God our Creator and Savior will result in obedience, love, and service out of a right heart. And not out of duty. It's not the other way around. It's not duty first. Here's the thing. We are totally incapable of offering anything without Christ. Our devotion will turn into duty without Christ. It's kind of like trying to drive a car without an engine. You won't get anywhere. And you'll end up getting out and trying to push that car along all by yourself. Even still, with Christ, we are still imperfect with our devotion, but that should leave us longing for the day when he returns, or that day when he calls us home. So moving on, chapter 12. Chapter 11, let's not jump on. We're chapter 11 right now. This is the end. Remember his commands. Moses brings it all together here. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his directives, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commands. Remembering them that at all of the Israelites who were receiving this, remember that all of the Israelites who were receiving this have not seen or known the discipline of the Lord, his mighty hand and his outstretched arm and his signs and his works that he did in the midst of Pharaoh. None of these people actually saw that. Remember that this was the generation after those who were in Egypt. God reminded them that even though they didn't directly witness all of these events, they are to remember them and pass them along to future generations and to walk in them. The land that the Lord would bless them with is a land unlike Egypt, where they would have had to work hard for their gardens. But this land drinks water from rain from heaven, a special land that the Lord your God cares for. His eyes, the eyes of the Lord your God, are always on it. God will give rain at the appropriate time. The soil will be rich and fertile. There will be abundant grass in the fields for cattle, and the Lord will provide all of this. Just don't forget the Lord and all his blessings. Verse 16, beware that your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Otherwise, the Lord will close up the heavens and there will be no rain and you will perish. Moses again reminds them of how vitally important it is to not forget the Lord. Verse 18, you shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontals of your forehead. This is a reiteration of chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. You shall teach them to your sons. Throughout the day, at every opportunity, these words shall be on your lips. Think about it. If they're on your lips, they're in your head, they're on your mind, they're on your heart. It's an outflow of that. You shall write them on the doorposts, all so that you do not forget, so that your days will be multiplied in the land that the Lord is giving you. Moses tells them to be careful to keep his commands, to love the Lord and to walk in all his ways and to hold fast to him. Verse 26 says that, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. So, some practical application from chapter 11. This chapter reminds us, well, it reminds me of Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But what does it say? Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Attention to God's word results in divine blessings. Here in this chapter, that blessing is the appropriate and timely rain. You can see that this is just like a tree planted by streams of water. You think about that. It's a simple tree by water. It has everything it needs to grow. It doesn't lack water. There is constant nourishment. The tree yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. So in closing, so it goes with our life. Our good Lord has set before us a blessing and a curse. Which will you choose? Will we remember to honor and follow out of a right heart? Or a better question is, how can we follow and choose out of a right heart? How can we do this? You see, we are all totally incapable. We always end up turning it into duty. The law here is just a tutor. It shows us our sin before a perfect and holy God. And what does it do? It leads us to Christ. Just like the Israelites did not want to go up to the mountain before God, but they asked Moses to go, we need a mediator too. Someone who can stand before us. And this is Jesus, who died on the cross to take the wrath that we deserve for our sins. Christ is our mediator, and only when we are in Christ can we choose the blessing and honoring and following out of the right heart. So, amen, and let's pray, and we'll get to prayer. All right, Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, it is just such a blessing to go through your word. Lord, all that you have given us, Lord, I pray that you would just lead us with this, Lord. I pray that we would be thinking about these things tonight, and as we go out of here, that we would just treasure your word, that we would hold it in our hearts, that we would be teaching it to others, that it would be constantly on our lips, that it would just drive us to Christ, Lord, and that we would be serving you and loving you out of a right heart, Lord. And I pray that you would lead us tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.